Welcome to Tree Dog Tuesday, only on the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast.
Hunting season is here. Make sure your dog stays energized with Joy High Energy 2420. This beef formula is made to meet the nutritional needs of the hardest working dogs at a whopping 505 kcals per cup. Joy High Energy is formulated with omega 3 and 6 fatty acids for healthy skin and a gray coat. Added pumpkin for digestive health and chelated minerals for more energy. So whether they're in the woods, the water, or the field, make sure they have the fuel for anything that comes their way. To learn more about Joy High Energy 2420 or to find a dealer near you, visit joydogfood.com or call us at 800-245-4125.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah, you sound good.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast. It is Tree Dog Tuesday, and I'm here with my friend, once again, Chris Saunders. On a Thursday at the World Hunt, hunting flex. Is it going to be deja vu, Chris?
I sure hope so.
If you guys remember last time we did this, it was Thursday, wasn't it?
It was Thursday, yes.
Yeah, last time we did this, we done the Houndsman XP, we done the Dinosaur Treks episode with Chris, and Flex goes in there and doubles up on Thursday night.
He sure did.
And you won Friday early too, right?
I did.
Yeah, I thought you did. You advanced him a long ways in the World Hunt. And that's one thing I want to talk about is how difficult it is to win here. Because, I mean, it's not like a pro classic. It's not like a pro hunt. Some of the dogs are different. Some of the people are different. You know, when I go to a 16-dog pro classic, I've hunted with just about every dog and handler in it. You know, you don't know who you're getting here. They've had good turnouts. It is the first spring world hunt. And here's Chris Saunders hunting Flex again. What do you think? How's Flex looked this week so far?
He's looked okay. Kind of working a little, kind of handicapped a little bit. I just pulled him off the box out of the kennel 2 weeks ago and hadn't turned him loose really since November. I took him to the refuge, White River Refuge in November, and I just hunted him just a few nights then. But really, he hadn't really been hunted since the World Hunt last year.
Yeah.
So, but you know, he's 8.5 years old. You know, his mind's telling him yes, and sometimes his body's telling him no. But you know, he's. I just told a buddy of mine, I was on the phone with him. He's got in 3 times at this hunt, So he deserves at least one last shot. Yeah.
You got to give them old dogs a shot sometimes. Yeah. They've earned it. Flex has earned it. We just mentioned how hard it is to get in here.
It is extremely, extremely difficult
to
get in at this hunt.
And I look at some of them guys that get in every year, and I'm thinking, how on earth do they do that?
I don't know. There's just a very, very, very few guys that get in every year. I think I brought him the first time. I brought Flex first time over. He was 2, so he's been here 5. This will be his 5th world hunt.
Yeah, and he's got in 3. Of them. So you are 3. One of them guys that get in. Every
no,
year.
No, I'm not. No, I wouldn't say that. But you know, it's probably, in my opinion, it's one of the toughest things. Just getting in is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. So I enjoy it. You know, if I don't win a single round, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm gonna go home angry. You know, like to, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Yeah.
But you're out here to win.
Oh yeah, I didn't come here just to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I like y'all and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here for a reason.
What did Kurt Ehring told me? He said, son, you got to leave them feelings at home.
Yeah.
When it comes to these casts.
That's right. That's right.
What do you think of the first spring world hunt?
I love it.
Yeah. No leaves.
Don't take long.
Yeah.
You walk in there, it's either there or it's not.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It, you know, they're going to pay for their mistakes.
Yeah.
is what it boils down to. You make a bad tree on a 90-minute cast, 9 times out of 10, you're beat.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the 90-minute cast, but I like them a lot better when there's no leaves on.
I do. I don't care for the 90-minute cast with one caveat. If there's no leash lock on a 90-minute cast, then I can deal with it. But if somebody can lock me up, you know, I've made one tree and they locked me up, I can literally walk the rest of the cast out.
Yeah.
Whereas at least let me – I only got 90 minutes. Let me turn my dog loose so I can compete.
Yep.
You know, I prefer 2 hours, honestly.
Yeah.
And especially with the leaves off, it just – you know, 90 minutes, if you make a bad tree, it's hard to come back. Two hours, if you make a bad tree, that's one extra tree you're going to get to make. Yep. You know.
Exactly.
So you got a chance to clean up – that dog's got a chance to clean up his mess. Whereas 90 minutes, he probably won't.
And that's the difference between getting turned loose and not getting turned loose with the leash lock sometimes, too, is that last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Have a chance for a dog to tree that coon that he needs or she needs.
Or make that dog that's beating you turn loose.
Right.
And give him a chance to make a bad tree.
How many 2-hour casts are decided in the last 5 minutes?
A bunch.
I bet it's over half.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them are decided, and especially now, these dogs are a different caliber, and everybody's got a good dog.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely do you come out to an event like this and see a dog and think, well, that dog, you know, is no good. I mean, most of them are pretty good coon dogs.
Yeah.
And so that last 30 minutes, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
It's a big deal. And what it does is it gives that good one an opportunity to clean up the mistake that either the dog or the handler made in the first 15.
Yeah.
Or it gives that dog that is just a mediocre dog a chance to make a mistake.
A chance to be mediocre.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you've been hunting. We talked about Flex, and you've been hunting him out here and how he's not as ready as he has been for the world hunts in the past, and that's because of this little female that you got.
Yes.
Now, we talked, I think, last year at the Spring Super Stakes, you told me about her.
I did.
And she was coming along good then. When we put you on the EHS roster and we were talking about trying to get you an EHS hunt and stuff, you're saying you're not hunting Flex. So you're not going to hunt this little female in it. So,
I am.
So tell me about her, what she's out of, and all that good stuff.
Her name is, she's not this breaking news, nobody pass out, but she is not out of my stuff.
Yeah.
And she is the first dog that first dog in years that wasn't born in my kennel and is not out of my stuff. She's out of Lone Pine female. She's out of Lone Pine Jill and Frogger.
Yep.
And she's, as of now, she just turned 19 months old.
Yep.
And I've been hunting her, literally hunting nothing but her, since April of last year.
When you decided to pick her up, you got her as a wean puppy?
No, she was 7 months old.
7 months old.
She was 7 months old and hadn't been coon hunted. I think she had seen 2 coon.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been turned loose one time, and Randy had her, Randy Smith. And Randy told me, he said, you know, I got one there at the house. He said, I think she might make something. He'd just seen her actions, no running and treeing and all that.
Yeah.
And she might have maybe barked at a tree, barked up a tree or something, but she just acted right, you know. And Randy and I go way, way back. I mean, he bred one of his females to Jinx.
Yep.
So you're talking almost 30 years ago. And he said, you know, Randy, he's got a bunch of young dogs there. And he said, you know, he asked me if I'd be interested. He said, just take her and, you know, we're partners on it. He said, but she's your dog. So I left. That was on it was at Walker Days at Hillsboro. I actually guided Brandy because I was just going to walk along on the cast, and we pulled up to the hunting spot where they were going to put them, and I said, hey man, I can do you a whole lot better than this. It was just honeysuckle and Russian olives. And I said, we go back over to my house, about 35 to 40 minute ride, and I put him in a really good spot. So we started talking about it, and that was Saturday. I said, okay. And I had a dog there that I had raised from a pup that I'd bought to breed to Flex if she would make the team.
Yeah.
And I decided just before that hunt that she wasn't going to make the team.
Right.
So I you know, I was like, I need to find something to mess with. And here she is. So I left on, that was a Saturday, and I went and picked her up on Tuesday.
So you was fairly excited to get this pup.
Well, I had Flex, but, you know, he's 8 years old. I got his sister Moxie, but she can't have pups.
Okay.
I need something, and I just raised, I mean, I bought this weaned pup. I mean, I bought a pup weaned and had it for 14 months.
Yeah, he was looking for something to mess with.
And I just decided that week that that weaned pup wasn't going to, she wasn't going to make it, so it's time to move on.
Right.
I'm looking for something, but, you know, I typically buy them as weaned puppies and raise them myself.
Yeah.
But I just burnt 14 months doing that.
Yeah.
And here, this one's 7 months old. Clean slate, hasn't been messed with. That's what I want to deal with. If I'm gonna get something that old, I don't even want to. All I want to do is hear it bark.
And plus, it's coming from Randy, so you know it's not been messed up.
Right,
or done
and it's
anything
got a good foundation, you know. So I left and I went and picked her up on a Tuesday. No, yeah, I think I left the house maybe Monday, and got back home on Tuesday, and put her in the kennel and went out there Wednesday, made love to her all day, you know, giving her treats.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and she acts fine. She's 7 months old. She ain't never been nowhere. And I thought, okay, I'll take her to a spot I got. I took her right down the road and turned her loose dead by herself, just like I always do. And she made the first tree in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
No kid.
I got a text message I sent to Randy.
Yeah.
Her very first tree, she made it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, shucks, here we go.
Randy Smith, if you're listening, if you got any more of those, you give me a holler.
Yeah. And I walk into the tree, and there sits a coon. I pet her up and walk her off and send her on. And she spins around and goes back, and I went back and got her and walked her a little farther and turned her loose, and she goes out there and she strikes another track. She works this track down through the woods about 7,500, 200, comes to a plow field, and it's still, I think it was the end of March maybe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cold and windy, and she gets bogged down in that plow field. I let her do that for a little bit. I go out and catch her. Walk around the other side of that same plow field and turn her down the edge of the woods. And sure enough, she works down the edge of that plow field, goes 200 yards, and loads up on another tree. Pecks around on that tree a little bit, comes down off of it, goes about 40 yards, just spins around and runs back to that tree. Ka-pow! I walk down there, and there's a coon balled up in that son of a gun. I thought, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, here we go. So, I've like I said, I've spent a lot of time hunting her and working on a thing. You know, recasting off of trees, and you know, but she's total natural, totally independent. Does not care what another dog does. But I've told you about her numbers. Mm-hmm. I won't say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
The most accurate dog I've ever seen.
Yeah. Did you, how long did you take before you put her in with something?
I went about 3 weeks, a month.
Yeah.
Just me and her.
Yeah.
And then hunted her with another dog. Never with Flex or Moxie, neither one of them, just with somebody else a time or two. In fact, the guy Chris Allen's brother, he's here. That was the first strange dog I ever turned loose with, because I know Maggie very well. I've hunted with Maggie since she was a little young dog. I didn't have to worry about, you know, and Maggie would let her. If Maggie would not dog track her, if Flesh goes left and Maggie decides to go right, then, you know, because I need to see that.
Right.
I don't want one that's going to chase. I want to know if mine's going to chase. And it was just from then on, I saw that the one night, and I thought, okay, that worked out good.
Yeah.
I saw what I needed to see there with another dog, and then we went back to another couple, 3 weeks, just her and I. And it's probably been, 80%, 90% by herself.
Yeah.
And just here recently, I've started in preparation for the Super Stakes, trying to find the right type of dog to turn her loose with so I can see what she's going to do, you know, in a cast of one-year-olds. I know what she's going to do with veteran dogs.
Right. Yeah, because there's a big difference between going around hunting with Noel or Chris or something like that and dogs that you know are going to be by themselves, do their own thing. They don't care about that pup and stuff to turn her loose with three other one-year-olds.
hey, you need to – what's she going to do when one wants to run behind her and bark?
Yeah, what's she going to do when she gets covered?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
But I've exposed her to different situations. Yeah. I probably won't win a thing now. I jinx myself. But
do you get nervous with them little pups like that? That they got all that talent and they're so good. I'm always so afraid of messing one up and doing the wrong thing.
Every time, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, there's been a couple things that she does, and I'm like, ooh, gosh, But then I'm like, hey, she's learning.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to let that dog learn on its own instead of you trying to teach it. You get in her head too much.
Yep.
One of the things that she did that used to just absolutely used to drive me nuts was I'd be watching her on the Garmin, man, and she's just flying through there, and all of a sudden she just stops and it's just figure eights and squiggles. Mm-hmm. and I'm just watching her and never make a sound.
Yeah.
And at first it was 20 minutes because I hit the stopwatch every time I turn a dog loose.
Yeah.
Whether it's the first time I recast him or when I recast him off a tree, I hit my stopwatch. And I'd look at my watch when she started squiggling, and I know she smells one, and it's sitting up.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be 20 minutes. And after a while, I thought, man, I need to go in there and push her out of there. And I thought, nope. Let her learn.
Yeah.
Let's see how long before that 20 minutes became 15 minutes.
Yeah. Now, if it starts going the other way, 20 minutes goes 25, 25 to 30, then you're probably going to do something, you think?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If that period doesn't begin to shorten up, she's not making progress, if she's not making, then I'll go in there and maybe push her, But we went from 20 down to 15, now 7.
Yeah, yeah.
7.
That's why that stopwatch is important when you're pleasure hunting.
Yeah.
We're on a clock all the time.
I can tell you that an average of 15 minutes I'm treed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't ever go to a spot and turn a dog loose and make a tree and come back to the truck. I recast every time. I don't hunt spots that I can only make one tree.
Yep.
Because it's my philosophy is it's not the first coon that wins me a hunt. Not a hunt that means anything.
Very rarely.
It's the second coon, or even more, the third coon that I see.
Yeah.
That's the one that wins me the hunt. But by the same token, I need you to get treed every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In Southern Ohio, I need you to be treed every 15. In this part of the world, I need you to be treed every 15 minutes.
What people don't understand is that if a dog gets treed once every 15 minutes, you're still probably only going to score that dog about once every 45.
Yeah, right.
Because that distance between first tree to second tree can be 200 yards, and you're still going to score a dog over here that's a mile that got treed after you did. By the time you find your coon, get let off, get recut, they tree way over here. Yeah. Well, now that dog's got to sit in there 200 yards from where it treed its first coon, 5 minutes off, and it's been on the ground for 5 minutes, and you're not going to be there for an hour.
You're not.
Yeah.
She's got to sit there, and they got to learn.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, it just – but, yeah, I'm a firm believer in I hadn't done this in a long, long, long time. But I won't say the numbers, but since October 16th, I've made a journal every tree this dog has made every night I've hunted.
Yeah.
and how many trees she's made, how many coon I've seen, how many slicks she's made. It's
impressive. I know the numbers too, so I'll just say it's impressive.
It's impressive.
But one thing, the mistakes I make with pups like that, and I've had some naturals. You look at Delta Dawn and Con and Blinken and some of them, is I get to treating them like a five-year-old when they're a one-year-old, because they hunt like a one-year-old or a five-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, they're already real polished, and they're by themselves, and they're having their coons. And so every mistake that they make, I think I can treat them like they're five and they've been out here all their life.
Yep.
And that's a mistake I've made as a handler multiple times that I really got to watch myself to do. I mean, that's something you're surely keeping an eye on, you know, with her.
That's why, you know, like I told you, that from 20 to 15 to 7, that's all been hands-off.
Yeah.
It's all now. Could I have got in there and pushed her on? No, yes, I could have.
Yeah.
But then that dog, then, you know, you create other problems.
Yeah.
You create potentially, you create other issues that you didn't have before. So now you're trying to clean up two messes.
Yeah.
When you only had one to start with, which may not have been a mess if you just left that youngster alone.
Yeah.
And Randy has a saying, because there's been a couple nights he says brick by brick. He says brick by brick.
Yep.
That's what he says. Yep. It. And it's just, hey, man, just let that youngster learn. Give it a chance to learn on its own.
Yeah.
And that once they learn on its own, then that's there. That's embedded in them. You know, you won't ever have to – that's not a problem that you're going to have to come back and clean up later.
Right.
Just let them be pups.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, you know, you're hunting and you're pounding its guts out and it's training coon every night. And after a while, you're starting to think, you know, I'm going to treat it like it's a three-year-old.
Yeah.
No, man, it's still a baby.
Yeah, it's a mistake. It's a mistake I've made and a lot of people make with natural pups. And I think that's pausing, or if it's a layup coon or it's a bad track or something like that, that's either moving around really good is ingrained in these dogs from birth or doing that is really ingrained in these dogs from birth.
Yeah.
You can tell. I mean, I can tell when a pup's 7, 8 months old, if it's running and treeing and all that stuff, and you turn it loose and it really wants to grub around, or if it's frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, so you're probably seeing the difference with her where that's not going to be a problem. That's where the stopwatch come in. You know, that's probably not going to be a long-term problem. Some dogs, that's a long-term issue.
Well, and that's when you have to recognize, okay, I'm going to have to do something about that. Versus saying, I need to stay hands off and let that one figure it out. You just have to, that's where being the dog man comes in. You got to be able to, you know, evaluate, okay, do I need to do something about this, and is now the right time? My philosophy is a dog can learn a lot of things, but he can only learn one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So if you're working on one problem, you need to get that problem squared away before you move on to the next problem.
Yeah.
If you're doing two, maybe you might be able to get away with two, but if you're doing three different corrections in the same night, that dog is confused.
Yeah.
Versus just, I'm going to fix this. I want to fix that, but I'm working on this right now. So as soon as I get this taken care of, then I'll, you know.
I've got a philosophy. You tell me what you think. That dogs are born with a certain amount of corrections in them. Maybe it's 50, maybe it's 50,000. You know, it depends on the dog. You've seen some of them dogs that can just take it and take it.
Yeah.
And you've seen some of the dogs where you're onto them for not loading up in the truck twice, and then you're onto them for something else out in the woods, and pretty soon they're blowed up.
You're
turning them loose and they're hiding under the buggy, or they're doing crazy things like that.
Yeah.
And so bad thing is we don't know how many those are.
Nope. But, you know, that now see, this is a different experience for me, because I said on the last podcast, you know, my line of dogs, they can't show me anything I haven't seen before.
Right.
But with her, I'm starting from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can't say, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. I know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't have that one in my pocket.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm extra, extra careful. With mine, unlimited number of corrections.
Yeah.
With Flex.
Exactly.
His sister, unlimited. You can get on them and they don't hold a grudge. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to be more careful, because it's like, dude, this might be one of them special ones, but you fool around and do the wrong one wrong move.
Yep.
And might set you back 6 months, might shut you down.
Yeah. I know what to do with the trader pup when they're 16 months old and they start staying on the ground too long.
Yeah.
You know, I know what to do with my pups when they're 6-7 months old and the mistakes that they're making, because like you said, I've seen all that before.
Right.
But I've made that same mistake where I treat a pup that is not out of my stuff or out of Jed's stuff the same way I do. There's no one training.
No.
Now, there may be one training philosophy for dogs that you're six generations in.
Right.
But you go get a rodeo pup, I don't know what to do with that thing.
Exactly.
You know, that thing leaves barking its full head off. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
How do
here.
I fix that? Yeah. Or, no, better yet, can it be fixed?
Right.
Maybe right. It can't. Maybe yep. It's just in them.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. You have to, you're going to live with it or, you know, or yep. Not.
Exactly. And that's where genetics comes into play. And that's one thing I was going to ask you about this female. When you seen how she was bred, she bred great. She's out of a Lone Pine female at Randy. She's out of Frogger. And we see all these dogs here at the World Hunt that got the PH in front of their name. Frogger's, yeah. Frogger's done really well.
He has.
And
he
so
has.
You know this dog's bred well. You know it's bred to be a coon dog. Were you looking at, you know, maybe down the road after she's doing what she's doing and she's good to go to maybe raise litter pups out of her and your stuff?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Different types of dog.
Yeah. What's the difference in them?
You know, as I said before, mine are trailing.
Right.
They're trailing dogs at Trio Coon.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, if like break glass in case of emergency Trio a laid up coon.
Yeah.
If coon on the ground, I think I said in the last one.
Yeah.
She's not that way. And I can't really say just how much of a trailing type dog she is. She's not an ambusher.
Yeah.
You know, just absolutely fly through the country and look for a smoking hot coon.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen where I just don't know if their styles would complement each other.
Right.
I mean, would I like to? I'm dying to get a pup out of Flex.
Yeah.
I want so bad to get a pup out of him, but I don't advertise, and I'm not going to be begging anybody to come breed to
and
him.
And you don't want to breed just any dog
I
to
don't,
him either.
I don't. So, yeah. You know, would it be nice? Yeah, but, and at my point, I've only got so many dogs left in me.
Yeah.
I can't afford to make a lot of mistakes because
yeah.
I pull one off, you know, a weaned pup, then that's in 14 months.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard when that 14-month-old pup don't make it.
It
you've wasted
make,
all that time.
Like that one that I got rid of yeah. just before I got Flash.
Yeah.
That was, and there were two others before her
yeah.
that I bought. With the intention of, I'm gonna breed this to Flex
yep.
when it makes it.
Yep.
And they never made the team. Yep. There's three of them. Well, 14 months. That's over 3 years yep. spent. You know.
Yep. I've so. Been there. I've but. Just sold my spring pup. That's the same age as yours. A good coon dog. Not quite what I'm gonna want. Yep. The year before that, I sold the son out of con. Covered a little bit too much. Like yep. to be with dogs. Like to party too much. Sold him, good coon dog.
Yeah.
And that's 3 years now, 4 years now, that I've wasted trying to find a replacement for a dog that, you know, now I got another 5.5-month-old pup.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to waste another 14 months on him. But, I don't know.
And, you know, and it may be that we're just, I don't want to say too picky, but we know what we,
yes.
we don't want. I tell people sometimes, you know, hey, you do that coon hunting thing, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, well, what kind of dogs? And I'm not bragging. I said, but you need to understand. When I'm talking about a coon dog, I said, I'm not looking for high school players.
Right.
I'm not looking for college players. I'm not looking for Division I football players. I'm looking for NFL players.
Yeah. All-stars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And,
we want all-stars.
And preferably one that is all-pro.
Yeah.
That's the caliber of dog.
Yeah.
So I'll give you this analogy. That's the caliber mm-hmm. that I'm working on.
Yep.
Not saying that that's what mine are, but you know, so when you get to that point, there's a lot of them that make a nice dog that just
yep.
aren't good enough.
Yeah.
The dog that I sold, the one I told you, the last one I had before I got Flesh, I put her on the PKC board way too low.
Yeah.
Priced her way too low. You know, because I'm thinking it's not going to satisfy me. It's, you know, it's not.
Yep.
And with literally within, I put her on a Sunday, and she was sold within an hour. And the guy said, well, can I come pick her up? or I said, I'll drive and meet you halfway. You know, yeah. He was a couple, 3 hours away. He said, well, when? I'm thinking he's talking about next week. He's not. No. I mean today.
Yeah.
And I drew him in a cast. And he goes, yeah, man. He said, he won his, he picked her up, got her, and won his money, won her money, like that Wednesday.
Yep.
He got her on Sunday and took her to a hunt and won his cast.
Yeah.
You know, he's happy as a clam. And I'm like, dang, maybe I screwed. And then I thought, no, I didn't. I didn't.
I've heard that 100 times. You sold the wrong dog. The wrong dog. I said, no, I didn't. That thing wins this world hunt, holler at me, and then I'll say I sold the wrong dog.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at, I remember I had the rhythm female, and I can't take complete credit for her. Waylon Morrell raised her. And she was still a baby, young dog whenever I bought her back.
Yeah.
And I got her trained coons pretty regular on her own. And she just wasn't quick enough on the ground. She had all the other bells and whistles, big mouth, everything. She just wasn't quite quick enough on the ground. And my partner wanted her, Zane Allen. He's like, hey, I told him I was selling her. He goes, I'm buying her. I said, I wouldn't sell her to him. Because he just lives right down the road from me.
Mm-hmm. I said, right.
You ain't gonna like this dog either by the time it's all said and done. I don't want to hear. And he still gives me heck about that. Because it was the same way they went. They got her 101. They've done some winning with her. She turned out to be a pretty nice dog.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't like that dog. I said, no, you wouldn't. You like the same dogs I like, and right. I don't like that dog.
I'm just saving you the aggravation.
Exactly. But, Chris, it's getting noisy in here. It is call-out time. I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Thanks for having
me.
Enjoyed
good luck, Charm. Flex gets in tonight, I bet you're going to have to do this again next year.
If Flex gets in, I can promise you we're going to be down. Hey, I'll be over there Thursday, you know, so we can do our
that's
annual.
Right, that's right. We'll have the red carpet rolled out.
You know, win or lose, he's I like him. He's got me in 3 times. I figured he deserved at least one
he
shot.
He don't owe you nothing,
He don't owe me a thing, man. So we're going to roll the dice and see how he does. He's happy to be here, you know. He's happy as a clam when I pulled in. He knows what a hunt is.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, you know. And
do it,
plus
get
he hadn't
get
been
to do it again. Yeah, yep. Oh, get to do it again.
Come on, Dad. Let's go play. All right, old man. I'll drag you. Sorry about that. Yeah. Last time. But thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for being here. And remember, we got an elite handler series coming up for you. I'm going to get you a matchup. I want to get out there before them leaves come on. And then the world's going to see this female.
I am ready. Reason she's not here is because she's in heat.
Yep.
And if I get beat tonight, I told my wife, I said, if I get beat early, I'll be home tonight, but I'll be coon hunting tomorrow because
I could tell you was excited about her when you're ready to get home and hunt her.
Yeah. I'll be hunting tomorrow.
All right. I appreciate it, Chris.
Anytime.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Tree Dog Tuesday with my friend Chris Saunders. Thanks for tuning in.